Well, first of all, I want to thank you all for wearing giant colors. Y'all got it, right? The bags. Lift up one of the bags. Giants, black and orange. And you guys, did you plan that?
It was also the New York Giants colors. I'm hoping us know that.
Well, they didn't quite make it to the championship. Anyway, it's a pleasure to be here to talk to you about California. I actually think I should have gone last because you're going to see really quickly that we're following some of our early adopters in terms of what the progress they've made. I'm going to be talking to you about our challenges and opportunities for improvement. And you're going to see quite quickly we've had quite a few challenges and some of the lessons we've learned, which are actually going to be kind of a repeat of what it is that we've heard about leadership is critical and also where you position these activities. So, who do we serve? Almost 38 million Californians. We are a big state. We're big both in size and we're big in number of people that we serve. And sometimes I would love to dream about moving a little bit faster sometimes as there actually I wake up and with hot flashes thinking, oh my goodness, we're talking about addressing almost 38 million Californians. We have 61 local health departments, and we have a program that is about 3,800 employees. When we are fully, we have all of our positions full, which I'm here to tell you that's one of our challenges. We've had this little thing called a budget deficit. In fact, we have a proposition on the ballot next month. If it doesn't pass, we're going to be looking more like Greece on our austerity plan. Anyway, we have almost 4,000 employees, we have 60 field offices, and we have over 200 programs. Now, this is a little bit like changing the direction of the Titanic. So what are some of our challenges that we have? When you go back and you think about the first year of the NIFI grant, it was 2010. It just so happens to be one of the longest budget impasses in state history. And what do you know if you don't have a budget? You don't get to spend the money. And it doesn't matter who gives you the money. In fact, we did not get the authority to spend the NIFI monies for 6 months, taking us into March of 2011, and we were awarded $2 million. The other thing that was going on at the same time, in January of 2011, we have a new governor that came into play. And those of you who work in government, you know what happens when you have a new administration that comes in. The old administration moves out, the new administration moves in, you have the selection of your leaders, there's that opportunity for them to come on board, to learn the programs that they've been assigned, and also to figure out their direction. The other thing that we had going on was a hiring freeze. So not only did we have this incredibly long budget impasse, didn't have the authority to spend the money, we couldn't hire staff. We're actually averaging about a 22% vacancy rate. So if you don't have people, it's very difficult to get done what it is that needs to get done. The other thing is our whole performance management activities, they were decentralized. We had some folks working over here on strategic planning, these over here on workforce development, and somewhere else on quality improvement. Our big office is in Sacramento at the east end of our state capitol. We're in four large buildings. And I can tell you this, and I've got 20 years of experience in with the department, we don't know who works across the street, even though we're working for the same organization. So now if you think about that, that's 200 programs. So the other piece that we have is silos within our organization, even when we're in close proximity. Large state. It's really hard, even with electronic means, in order to create the kind of critical mass that you need for quality improvement and accreditation. And I love what you said about massaging relationships, because it is all about relationships, and that's that face time with people. The other thing is accreditation is new. And when anything is new, it's like, oh my goodness, where do I start and who do I go to get that expertise? Well, the external expertise is still now being developed. I just wanted to share with you, this is our beautiful state. And we did a survey. Now, this survey was done a year ago by us, and we determined it's still relatively accurate. And we asked them the question, these are all the 61 local health jurisdictions. This is really not a tumor or anything. That's Long Beach. We have three cities that are actually their own local health jurisdictions. So that's Long Beach right there in the middle of Los Angeles. So anyway, we asked them if they were looking to apply for accreditation. So if you look at the greens and the blues, that's 55% of our local health departments. Here's the great news. Represents 82% of our total population. So if this happens, 82% of our citizens will be served by an accredited local health department. So what are some of the factors that we have lined up for success? The first and foremost was absolutely the appointment of Dr. Ron Chapman as our director of the California Department of Public Health. He came into office in June of 2011, and he is someone who it is not only part of his genome, but it is his mission regarding quality improvement. He sees accreditation as really the vehicle to create the cultural change around quality improvement, not that it's the end point. And sometimes if that conversation isn't managed well, people will think it's something that you check off versus that it's a journey that you, once you get on, you keep traveling. Quality improvement is continuous. He proposed actually soon into his office, and in our state, our director and our two chief deputy directors have to be confirmed by the Senate. So in this period of time, that 1 year, he's actually confirmed on the last day possible, which was June of 2012, in that 1 year period, they're on probation and they may not make it. So if they're not confirmed by the deadline, they're out of office. But really quickly, I came up with the concept of centralizing the quality performance activities, and he started talking to management staff about quality improvement with senior executives. One thing that amazes me, my experience is all healthcare. So I'm hospitals, nursing homes, quality improvement is there. I mean, whether it's the CMS conditions of participation on quality improvement, I was shocked to find out that it's relatively new to public health. The other thing he did was in January of 2012, he started the strategic mapping. And I got to tell you, within a very short time, we had a final map. And I just want to point this map out to you, and it's a little difficult to read. But we have our overarching objective, and then across A, B, C, D, E. Under B, it says strengthen CDPH as an innovative, high-performing organization. And those are the objectives. The very first one is achieve national public health accreditation. The yellow ones are those of what we are focusing on year one. So are we going to achieve accreditation in a year? No. But what it means is get on the train. That's where we're going to start moving. Then down here are your cross-cutting strategies, and this one right here. Make continuous quality improvement a way of life in the department. This was approved by the department and with external input as well. So, the Office of Quality Performance and Accreditation. The concept, November 2011, mid-July, we launched it. I'm the Deputy Director of the Office of Quality Performance and Accreditation. Technically, the performance manager actually reports to me. What we did was we centralized those performance management activities. So you've got the workforce development, you've got the quality improvement and strategic planning. We all came together. I got to tell you, just something like moving across the street was a big deal, just bringing the staff together. Then it adds accreditation. That doesn't mean we weren't working on accreditation, but we specifically named the office quality performance and accreditation to raise the prominence, to start that process of educating staff what is accreditation, so that they start asking the question, what does that mean for me and does this mean more work? Why would I care about accreditation? And that's up to me to sell it. Well, I have a staff of 11, but I told you about those vacancies, right? I have about a 40% vacancy rate. Normally I'd move really fast to hire, but this is an opportunity for me to do a knowledge skills assessment as to what I don't have and what it is that I do need. The other thing that we did was in September 2011, we said, okay, is anybody in the department doing quality improvement? Well, the answer is yes, they are, but they're in these little pockets. And some were using the Plan, Do, Check, Act, some were using Six Sigma, some were using Lean, and even though it's occurring, it was inconsistent. We realize we don't have the internal capacity and expertise to really get the fire going for quality improvement, so we brought in external consultants, thank you so much. We brought in Dr. Jack Moran, who came in July, the end of July, and did an all-day executive management training. So we had 50 of our leaders who went through training. And it wasn't to teach them how to do a project, but it was to teach them the language, teach them what is a root cause analysis, what does it mean to write an aim statement, because these folks are the ones that are going to support the staff to do them. They may champion quality improvement projects. They may facilitate them, but at least they won't be getting in the way because they don't understand what it means. The other thing we did was we selected four teams, and we brought those four teams in with Dr. Jack Moran, who did two-day intensive training, and this is the nuts and bolts. Really took them down into this is how you do a project. We also hired an external quality improvement consultant who lives in the San Francisco Bay Area and is shoulder to shoulder with these four teams, literally walking them through the process. And this is one of the lessons we learned. So here's a picture of my teams, two of them at least, there's three. We have four teams. We have human resource branch. They're working on the process of hiring staff, which I got to tell you, I don't know if you guys have this problem, but sometimes it takes months to bring someone on board. And it's just frustrating, particularly if you're trying to bring talent in and 4 or 5 months out, they still don't know whether or not they've got a job. It's just so frustrating, and you really want to keep them interested. So they're working on that process. Over here we have Vital Records, who's working on infant death records. We also have the Division of Communicable Disease that's working on reporting of communicable disease. And the Office of Quality Performance and Accreditation is taking on nothing less than short of world hunger. We're taking on employee satisfaction. Yes. That's not exactly a way to create success right at the start. We did an employee satisfaction survey back in March of 2012, and one-third of our employees said we're not a transparent organization. They don't know how decisions are made, and people aren't communicating. One-third. So we're taking on the concept of transparency. We also conducted some quality improvement and accreditation trainings with our local health departments. May 1st was one down in Los Angeles. We'll fund it by NIFI grants and working with NIFI grantees such as San Diego and Los Angeles. August 1st, we did one in Sacramento. We managed to hit 80% of our local health departments between those two trainings. We work with our California Conference of Local Health Officers. They're all MDs, statutorily mandated, that every one of our local health departments have a physician. And then our county health executives. We consider them intimate partners. So what are the lessons learned? Oh, it is so important to have the executive sponsorship. And one of the things that Dr. Chapman said to me when he offered me the position, he said, I guarantee you, once you start talking about it, this will come out of the woodwork. And I have already had people come up to me saying, I want to do quality improvement project. But until you have that executive sponsorship, you cannot embody those people to have the courage to step up and say, I want to do this. Organizational placement. I report directly to the director. I sit, my office is right next to the director. And I got to tell you, being near the sun does have power in terms of having people be partners in this. So it's organizational placement is really important as well. This is the other lesson we learned. Process trumps calendar. It is so, you want to move so quickly on this. But one of the first lessons we learned was with our four QI teams. We did the two-day training. We're going to have them come back in a month. But just listening to them afterwards and doing a debriefing with these four QI teams after their two-day training, they were lost. And what we recognized was they needed that really intense coaching and mentoring. So what we had to do is delay that second training. Because it's more important to get the process right, because if you don't do it right, the process, it's going to thwart your efforts. Our next step, and I think I might be calling you, on that performance management system, as I said, I probably should have gone last. We're looking to identify a performance management system. We just wrote out our vision statement and presented it to executive staff. Now the next step is to identify what systems we can use. Please keep in mind, 4,000 employees, over 200 programs, and 60 different offices. I need to build the knowledge on accreditation. It's foreign to the staff. And we're battle-weary in this state in terms of state employees. I mean, they have taken cuts and cuts and cuts. We have had one governor who said, I shall give you one furlough. When we said, wait a minute, that's not fair. He says, fine, I'll give you three. And he did. He managed to give us three furloughs for over a year and a half, and we're back on furloughs. And it's part of sharing the pain of the economic downturn that we are in. But when you say something like accreditation, staff are going, I'm already wearing two hats, and you want me to do something new. And part of the way I'm doing that is telling them it's all about them. Wouldn't you want to work for an organization that is nationally accredited as meeting standards of quality? The other thing we're doing is mandatory training on quality improvement to all employees. It'll be a 3 to 5 hour block, web-based in hour increments. Our state health assessment and plan is our next step. Those four vacancies I talked about, that's where I'm hoping to actually hire some dedicated staff. As well put, you need dedicated staff. So this is one of my other teams. This is Division of Communicable Disease. And look, they're all smiling. They're all smiling, and they got their fishbone diagram there and all their different reporting things. I saw that picture, and I said, well, we're just going to go national with that picture. So we are ready. We're ready, willing, and able, and luckily we've been the fortunate recipient of funds that is kind of that fuel that will be used to light accreditation readiness in the state of California. And I look to some of my partners here to help lead the way. Thank you.